Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is episode number 18, and this show will actually be five reasons why it's good to start the practice of family devotions today. And we're going to look at why it is that we should do family devotions. Now, I would say that if there's one thing that you could do and start doing, and if you're not doing it, you definitely need to start, that would leave a legacy spiritually and probably for family unity as well, it would be family devotions. And so this is absolutely critical. And this week or this episode, we're actually going to look at why it's so important, and why we'd want to do it. And then very soon, maybe in a couple more episodes, I will be bringing you some hints or some ideas on how to go about having a family devotion, some of the resources that we use, some of the things that we've learned along the way. I have to say that, we're not perfect, and I use some examples from my own house and things like that, but, I'm learning along the way, but, my heart is in the right place. I want to be able to leave a legacy, and so I'm passing on whatever I learned to you all as listeners, and so hopefully you'll find it valuable. But anyway, that's where our podcast is going to be today. But before we actually look at that, I want to take care of some of the business. First of all, be sure you're checking out the website and looking at some of the new additions that we have there, and sign up to be a member of the Legacy Podcast, and you can do that on the right-hand column, right top corner of the page. Any of the pages were there, and if you haven't registered, it says register. You can do that. That will allow you to get into our system so that we can let you know of any updates and changes, new podcasts, new blogs, whatever it might be. We're also going to be adding new resources, so it'll let you know about that, and it'll be able to allow you to be a part of the program, let us know what you're thinking, be able to provide feedback to the various shows, that kind of thing. So be sure you sign up as a member. There's no cost to that. Now, later on, I'll be actually having a premium membership program where you'll be able to access additional resources and vendors with discounts and things like that, but for now, everything is free, and so you can sign up for that on the website. And also, you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can do that at Facebook/The Legacy Podcast. And then you'll also want to give us feedback, or we'd appreciate it if you give us feedback. And there's three ways you can do that. You can give feedback to each of the episodes individually as you hear them. There's a place on the website where you can give them feedback. Or you can actually give feedback on iTunes regarding the podcast. That would be great. Or you can actually give me feedback directly if you email me at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. Again, that's feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. So anyway, that takes care of the business for this episode. So let's go ahead and take care of the actual content of today's show. So here are five reasons why you should start a family devotions today. Now, first of all, let me say that family devotions has gone under several different names. Some people have called it family worship. Others have called it family devotions. Some people in ages past have called it the family altar. What I mean by that is where the family comes together on a regular basis, preferably daily, and they worship God together. Now, we know worship is corporately when we go to a church building or, we meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ as a church family and we worship God together. Well, this is basically the same kind of idea, only it's with your family. And so when I talk about family devotions, that's what I'm meaning when I talk about that. And I'll cover more specifically what we actually do, as I mentioned, in another podcast. But for now, number one reason is it helps train the next generation in the Scriptures. Helps train the next generation of the Scriptures. It gives us everyday opportunities to evaluate the spiritual state of our family, the spiritual state of our children. It gives us the opportunity to know where they are, what they're thinking, how they're responding to the Scriptures, and, things like that. In fact, I have had the privilege of being able to lead all three of my older children to faith so far. And I trust by God's grace, He'll give me the opportunity to lead my younger ones to faith as well. And that was directly as a result of spending time with them daily in the Word in worship. And had I not been doing that, I wouldn't have known they were ready. I wouldn't have been able to talk with them. And it wasn't just a one-day thing. It would, you know, it was conversation after conversation and Bible study after Bible study and Bible time worship on a regular basis, being able to lead them up to the point where they were able to profess faith and follow the Lord. And so there is no greater joy, there's no greater privilege that a father can have than leading his boys to faith. And I've been able to do that because of practicing family devotions. And so this gives us the opportunity to be able to evaluate the spiritual state of our children. We are also able to, you know, correct attitudes and problems that can be addressed. You know, if there's a problem that was occurring throughout the day or an attitude adjustment that needs to be made, when you're called together as a family and you're all together discussing things of the scriptures, it gives you a great opportunity to be able to dialogue with your children about issues of attitude and things like that. Let me also say that, you know, sometimes it's kind of awkward to talk with your children about spiritual things. Maybe, you know, the timing just isn't quite right. Now, my hope is that we have such a relationship with our children that throughout the day, we are able to communicate with them on a spiritual basis. But sometimes that's not so much. And so, especially as they get older, maybe teenagers, it's harder to talk with them about things like that, maybe. But if you're coming together as a family and spending time every day in the Word, it's only natural that you would talk about things like that. And so it allows a platform on a regular basis where you can discuss spiritual things, issues of habit and issues of attitude and things like that, which will be able to build the family and the character of the individuals in the family. Another way in which this helps train the next generation is that they are able to see you as a parent leading them in devotions. They're able to see your example. They're able to see you leading spiritually. You know, there has been a few times where, you know, I have needed to confess something to my family. Maybe they've, you know, they see me speak harshly towards my wife or something like that. And because we have come together for devotions, my conscience was pricked by the sin that I had committed, and I've had to confess that before the whole family. And what a testimony that can be to your children to be able to see, you know, Dad messes up sometimes, but he confesses it. And it gives them the example that they can then follow, and so it helps train them in the scriptures. Number two, though, is that it helps train the next generation for corporate worship. So not only are they learning the scriptures, not only are they learning, you know, how they are to conduct themselves through regular Bible study and things like that, but it actually gives them a training ground, a seedbed, if you will, for corporate worship. And as you meet together as a family, you're able then to translate some of the activities and some of the attitudes and some of the ways in which you do regular church or family devotions for regular church. For example, here's just a few of them. It helps the children learn to read the scriptures. Now, you know, back generations ago, it was the Bible as the main literature textbook. The Bible was what most people learned how to read. It was from the Bible. And of course, nowadays, that's not so much. Even, you know, when we're homeschooling, that's not so much. And yet, you know, I've been training my children on a regular basis to read the Bible, and they participate with us in reading the scriptures in evening during the devotions. And, you know, it's amazing how eager the little ones are, particularly, to become big enough to be able to read the scriptures. And so they work from a very early age, from the beginning being able to read, they want to be able to participate in reading. They may, you know, may stumble through just one verse, and it takes them, you know, 3 minutes to get through that one verse because they know hardly any of the verses, hardly any of the vocabulary in the verse. But nonetheless, that's a practice for them. It trains them in reading the scriptures. It also teaches them to sing. Now, some people don't do family devotions where they include singing as a part of it. And we have not done that to the extent that I would like. I would love to be able to do more singing. And, you know, we do that to some extent. And some families do it far more than we do. But anyway, if you are able to incorporate singing into the family worship, it allows the children to learn the songs that you'll be singing together in corporate worship. Now, I talked earlier about how children are often separated into their own little worship time in churches. And, you know, then they come together when they you know, get to be 20 or something into a regular worship, and they don't know any of the songs because they've been singing their own little cute little songs for youth group or whatever it is. Well, this allows them to learn the good theologically sound hymns of the faith and other, you know, maybe you as a family have a particular bend for a certain type of music. You can teach that music to your children during the family devotions, and so they're able to be trained for corporate worship in that way. It also teaches them how to pray. Obviously, by your example, as you are leading them in prayer, they are learning from you how to pray, and that you can give them an opportunity where they can then pray, and it allows them the opportunity to learn, to develop their own vocabulary for prayer, and you can talk with them about, you know, what kinds of things to pray for. And I know a lot of people pray with their kids before they go to bed and teach them how to pray and things like that, and that's all great, and I'm not saying that that shouldn't be the case. And so, you know, but this gives them a, you know, a time each day where they can focus on that, you know. And when you are praying as a father or as a mother or something like that, it gives them an example of what it is to pray. Now, I know that probably scares some of you that might be listening. And, you know, I wonder how many children out there have never heard their father pray. What a tragedy that is. And if you're one of those fathers, I want to encourage you today to just take that step to pray with your kids, to show them. And, you know, you have to be sincere. And you know, it may take some development on your part, but nonetheless, praying is something that you should exemplify in your own life. And this allows you to do that when you involve yourself in a family worship time. It also teaches the children to prepare for corporate worship by learning to sit still. Now, this is a huge thing for little kids. You know, I've heard parents before say, well, I can't bring my kids to church because they just can't sit still during church. Well, that's not the problem with the church. That's the problem with the parenting. And family devotions at home will enable the children to be able to learn to sit still during family devotions. Now, I have to admit that this is a hard task, especially for people like me who are pretty singularly focused. And when I'm teaching the Bible in devotion time or whatever it is, and I see my kids acting up, well, sometimes I don't even see my kids acting up. My wife has to show me that they're acting up because I'm focused on teaching the Bible. And so, you know, this is a difficulty at some, at, you know, at points, but nonetheless, how important is it to be able to teach our children to be able to sit still? And, you know, along with being able to sit still is being able to listen. Where our generations today are being trained up so much in the electronic technological world that it's very difficult for them just to sit still and to listen without having some kind of visual or some kind of thing that they can do with their hands, electronic device or something. And so we have to train them to be able to do that. You know, in past generations, you look at the biblical times and people would be able to recite verse after verse after verse of the scriptures. And they had a great capacity for oral memorization and things like this because that's what they practiced. That's what they were able to do. Well, nowadays, of course, everything's so close to our fingertips. We can look up the Bible passage in a heartbeat just by looking at our iPhones or on the computer or whatever it is. And so we have not had the discipline or had the opportunity to discipline ourselves to learn how to sit and to listen without all kinds of other stimuli going on. And so this is a great opportunity as you're teaching your children in the evenings or mornings or whenever it is you do your devotions, to be able to teach them to sit and to be ready for devotions and ready to worship the Lord. And then, so that it helps train the next generation for corporate worship. But thirdly, it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. In other words, you know, as you're going through family devotions, particularly as the kids get a little bit older, they'll start to ask you some difficult questions. And it may be that those questions you don't have an answer for. Well, how great is it for you to be able to, you know, search the scriptures yourself, to be able to come up with answers to the questions that they're asking? How better is it for you to be able to come up with those answers than for them to go to their youth pastor or something like that and bypass your authority and bypass your input to go to some so-called expert to get the answer. How much better would it be if they ask that question, you say, you know what, son, I don't understand that question, right? Or I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find it out. And then over the next 24 hours, you research that, you look it up, maybe you call the pastor, and then you come back and you tell your kids the question that they asked, or the answer to the question that they asked. And let me back up just for a moment. I've been a pastor now for a while, and it would be music to my ears. And on a few occasions this has happened, but not frequently enough by any means. If a father called me up and says, you know, we were having family devotions the other night, and one of my kids asked me this question, and I didn't have an answer for it, and so I wanted to talk to you to see if you could direct me in the right direction to where I could find an answer. Man, that would be music to my ears to be able to hear that from a father. But why don't we hear that kind of thing? We don't hear that kind of thing because fathers are not discipling their children in their home through family devotions, and so the children are not asking them questions, and so they're not asking their pastors questions. Now, it may be that they learn all these things themselves and they don't need their pastors, which that's great too, but chances are it's because they're not actually spending time with their children in family devotions. And so this is a great way for you to grow in your own personal relationship as you learn to be able to give the answers to the questions that the children are asking. It also, in relationship to this, it makes you more discipled in your own Bible study. You always have to stay a step ahead of what you're teaching or what you're going through. And so, you know, if you're reading a chapter a day or something like that, you want to review that chapter before you actually read it so that you can kind of be at least a half a step ahead of what you're covering. And so it makes you disciplined in your own Bible study and makes you disciplined, in your own walk with the Lord. And then, you know, maybe even most importantly about your own spiritual relationship and how family devotions help with that, is you can't be a hypocrite. Your kids will find that out. And when you're trying to do family devotions and, you know, you're reading through a subject and it becomes quite evident that you're not doing what the Bible says you're reading about, the kids will pick that up. And, of course, that's where it's time for you to apologize, ask for forgiveness, and try to persuade the children that, you know, the Lord is still working in your life and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is you can't be a hypocrite and still do family devotions. And so what it does is it exposes you. Now, I know that's scary because we don't want to be exposed. We want to think, we want our kids to think that we've got everything all together. But the reality of it is we don't. And so it allows us to be real before our kids. And they're able to see that. We can't play games. We can't just pretend like everything is right with our relationship with God when deep down it's not. Because that'll come to the surface in a heartbeat when you're doing family devotion. So it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Number four, it gives you much needed time together as a family. I've already mentioned how in previous, I think it was last episode, maybe the one before that, how little time in contact parents have with their children and families together when they're all, you know, split up with their various activities and that kind of thing. And so this gives a much needed time together for the family. And, you know, what a great opportunity it is to be able to come together every day for 20, 10, 30 minutes, whatever it is you decide to do, and spend that time together doing probably the most constructive thing you could ever do as a family, and that's worshiping God together. You know, this life is not all there is. We talk about leaving a legacy here on the Legacy Podcast and how we're building a life. We're living a life now that will build a legacy. And we will one day, if you're a Christian, you will one day be in the presence of God where you will worship Him for all eternity. Why not practice that now together as a family? How great is it to be able to be united around that already? And so, you know what? There are so many things that change in our lives. There are places, we may live in a different location, and our places change, homes change. Of course, our age, we're changing regularly in our age, and our situations may change, our workplace may change, the responsibilities that we have may change. Our health may change. What if you could have one constant in your family? One constant where you could come together and do something that had an impact for generations when you come together around the Scriptures and teach your children the Scriptures. What would it be like if every day Dad got Mom together and all the kids together and did that, a time of devotions, every day for the entire life that those kids are in the home? That's going to be one constant. It's going to be one activity that never changes. It's going to be one activity that they can depend upon, they can rely upon. Talk about habits being formed. You know, they're going to go off on their own, start their own family, whatever it is, and they're going to do that because that is just something that's been so constant in their life. It has been such an activity that they can't turn away from that. And so, you know, we talk about children growing up and leaving the faith. How can they grow up and leave the faith if every day they have been in the Word with their family? No, they're going to grow up and they're going to lead their own families. And so you've passed on from one generation to the next this legacy of faith, legacy of spirituality. You know, they'll have memories of this that will last forever. That's the kind of legacy we're talking about here on the Legacy Podcast. And then number five, it's commanded by God. In other words, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently," that is the Scriptures, the law, most particularly in Deuteronomy here it's speaking about. But it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." That word diligently literally is, "You shall press upon them." You shall make it so that the word is imprinted in their lives. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, I've already mentioned that this says that we are to have a lifestyle where we are continuing to disciple our children. As they walk with us, we then impart to them the wisdom of the Scriptures. That's the model that is given to us in the Bible for how we are to raise up the next generation. But it's also so great if every day we could have a time set aside where we could meet together as a family and worship God together. That's a commandment that is given to us in the Scriptures, and a way of implementing that commandment in a fixed standard way that can glorify Him. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Now, I don't know of any other single activity that you can do in your home that would be more advantageous to the admonition and the training of your children than doing a family devotions every day. You know, we're to teach or disciple our children, and you know, we're going to do that as we go about our life. But the single activity of family devotions can have such a dramatic effect on the next generation. It's something that we cannot go without. And so I hope that this has challenged those of you who are not doing family devotions, that you can today begin to build a financial or a spiritual legacy for your home by doing family devotions. And I hope that it has encouraged those that already are doing family devotions, that it has inspired you and encouraged you to keep on, that you're on the right track, and to continue to maintain consistency, because it's that kind of consistency, day in and day out, discipleship of the children through family worship as you worship in unity before God, that will dramatically change the generations to come. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?